Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Penguins clinched the East Division with a shutout win over the Sabres Saturday at PPG Paints Arena. Now we'll await their fate in the playoffs. Who will they play first? Tonight's game between the Islanders and Bruins will go a long way in determining that. Headline brought to you by Dollar Bank. Get low home equity loan rates at dollar.bank. I see some conjecture out of Boston that the Bruins might not go all in to try to win tonight and tomorrow. That they might be okay finishing fourth in setting up a matchup with the Penguins in the first round. That's from our sister station in Boston. I would be very surprised if that's the case, Chris. That the Bruins would play a B team tonight? You think they'd rather play the Penguins than the Caps?
I don't think they have any fear of the Penguins, that's for sure.
But that would be their preference?
I mean, they've played them, what, once in the playoffs in the last decade. It was the most humiliating Penguin series I can remember watching, even more so than that Islanders series a couple years ago. Yeah, because I thought the team that lost to the Bruins and got swept the way they did was good enough
to... Well, they never led for a second of that series.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a Stanley Cup-winning team after the year of the Flyers' humiliation, and it didn't happen.
All right, let's talk right now with our NHL insider. He's the best from the NHL and NBC, Pierre Maguire, back with us. Pierre, not sure how much of that you caught, but you want to add anything to that? Is Boston really going to play B-team guys tonight?
I don't know. I'm doing the game with Johnny Forsen, though, so I don't know whether they're going to play B-teamers or not. So anyways, Andrew, great to talk to you.
You too.
Great information. Great information. By the way, I did that series where Pittsburgh got swept by Boston. And being a Penguin person, that was probably one of the worst defeats I can remember of the Penguins since the 1990s.
Okay. Now, do you think Boston really wants to avoid the Penguins, to Chris's point, or do you think they're perfectly comfortable with them in the first round, Pierre?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. If I did, I would tell you guys. I just don't want to speculate because it just adds too much venom to the whole thing.
Yep.
And I don't think it's fair to either group. But here's what I would say. If I were involved in any team in the league right now, after doing the Penguins game on Saturday afternoon, and by the way, to all the fans who were there, you people are unbelievable. You should be so proud of the atmosphere and the climate you've created around that team. And to everybody that grabbed me on the way out of the building and asked me for a picture or an autograph, thank you. You are an awesome fan base, and I'm really appreciative of every visit I take to Pittsburgh. Now, all that being said, I would not want to play the Penguins for this reason alone. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Jeff Carter, Teddy Bluger. Their depth down the middle is overwhelming, potentially, against any matchup in the Eastern Conference. I'm not just talking division play. I'm talking the East, so, you know, all the traditional Eastern teams. If we were having a traditional Eastern playoff, I don't know if any team in the East matches up with Pittsburgh's depth down the middle.
Does Boston, though, because of Taylor Hall seemingly jump-starting David Krejci, at least have a 1-2 punch that can stack up with the Penguins if it comes to that, Pierre?
I haven't seen Taylor ever do it in the playoffs. So I don't know. I've seen Krejci do it in the playoffs. I've seen Marchand do it in the playoffs. I've seen Pastrnak elevate in the playoffs. Bergeron obviously elevate in the playoffs, but I've never seen Taylor Hall in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This will be his 15th career playoff game. So yeah. I've never seen his elevation. Even his MVP year, I never saw him elevate against Tampa. So I don't know. I don't know if he can do it or not. That's why people ask me all the time, what about this goalie? What about that goalie? And if they have a proven pedigree where I can refer back to something, I'll say, yeah, I've seen him do it. He can definitely elevate. Or no, you know what? I've seen him play, and he can't do it. Or I've never seen him play in the playoffs, so who knows? I think that's how you have to approach those kinds of situations. But in Taylor Hall's case, I haven't seen him do it in the playoffs yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think for weeks we've just been thinking about Boston because of how the standings looked like they were going to set up. I think there was an assumption for a while that the Penguins, even though they were playing well, Washington would finish first and the Penguins would finish second. That obviously changed over the weekend. And so the Islanders have been out of sight, out of mind for us here for a long time. I thought when they made that trade with the Devils that it was going to help them offset the Lee injury. But then I look at how they've played the last 10 or so games, and it looks like they've struggled. So what can you – because I've kind of put the Islanders on the back burner, Pierre. What can you tell us about the way they're playing and how they would set up as a first-round matchup for the Penguins?
In their last six games, they're 3-2-1. I think one of the things that caught them was they had two emotional wins over the Rangers. They won 4-0 and 3-0. And after that, they kind of took their foot off the gas against the Buffalo Sabres. They took their foot off the gas against New Jersey. Then they've got it back in their last game against Jersey. They won 5-1. They played well, the kind of Islander team you'd expect. I've done a bunch of their games recently, mm-hmm. and I think the biggest thing with them is they can play physical. They can play, in your face. They can beat you up if they have to. The fourth line, Martin, Cizikas, and Clutterbuck is very good, especially since they got Clutterbuck back. Their power play is getting better. It hasn't been great all year, obviously, with Anders Lee out. That really hurt them, but it's getting better. The big thing to me is their penalty kill. They're number one on home ice. Listen to this. It's crazy. Number one on home ice, 22nd on the road. So that would not be very good playing against the Penguins team that I think has a chance to be really good on home ice, which we've seen all of this year, how great they've been on home ice.
Pierre, you mentioned with like Taylor Hall, haven't seen him elevate it in the playoffs, and you've got to have maybe a body of work in the postseason before you can say that about a guy. How much of a concern based on that would you have about the Penguins' goaltending situation heading into the playoffs?
Great. Yeah, what a good question. Chris, I don't know the answer to that, except to say I watched Tristan from the start of this year to the end of this year, and it's two totally different goalies. At the start of this year, I was really concerned. At the end of the year, I would not be as concerned. I was really impressed by Mad Max Legacy this weekend. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah,
I thought he was great.
What a story.
On Saturday. Very good story. But I'm not as concerned about the Penguins' goaltending. I think one thing that's really apparent, they need to get Mike Matheson back. I think that would help them a ton in terms of slotting players properly on defense. Mm-hmm. But no, I think that they're, I think Pittsburgh's really in a good position going into the playoffs. They really do.
Pierre McGuire with us. He was in Pittsburgh for the game against the Sabres on Saturday. Jeff Carter scored the lone goal in that game. Here's a question about his acquisition that I wonder if you have the answer to, Pierre. Did the Penguins get him because it wasn't known around the league that Carter was available? Like, I wonder if the Hextall-Kings relationship and his relationship with Carter personally helped him pry a player away. And when that deal got made, I wonder if there were GMs around the league that said, well, wait a minute, I didn't know that Jeff Carter could be acquired. I thought he wanted to stay in L.A. and ride it out there and retire a King. Give us the backstory on that one, if you could.
Well, do you remember when you got him in Pittsburgh, I said to you the sense of familiarity closed the deal on this?
Yep.
So there was familiarity with Hextall and Carter. There was huge familiarity with Crosby and Carter. So when you have that kind of connection to players, especially Carter and Crosby having played so much together internationally for Canada, it's not like they don't talk. Players are allowed to talk. That's not tampering. Mm-hmm. A GM can't talk to a player, obviously. But I would just say that I think the sense of familiarity closed. I think they knew all the moving parts in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure everybody else did around the league because they don't have that same sense of familiarity with the player like Pittsburgh would have had. And I just remember when you got him in Pittsburgh and just talking to you guys in particular and saying, this guy still has it.
Mm-hmm.
He still has his feet. He still has his hands. He can play center. He can play wing. And the biggest thing that gives him a rep, and I made the point during the broadcast, Pittsburgh Penguins center icemen are left-hand shots. But in a playoff series, you also have to have right-hand shots, especially when the faceoffs are on the right-hand side of the ice. It's more of a natural position for them to win. If you look at what Mike Sullivan did at the end of that game on Saturday, the right-handed shooting Carter was out to take the faceoff because it was on the right-hand side of the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo never got a chance to get that puck back. So there's so many things that matter in this deal, but I'm not surprised Jeff is doing this well because he still has his feet and he still has his hands.
Would you keep Carter and McCann together come hell or high water, Pierre? You don't want to mess with that duo, or do you think that could be something that the Penguins explore if they get pretty much close to fully healthy here?
Well, the one thing is, I want, when you get them back, I want Brandon Tanev back with Kluger. I think Goudreau's really fit in there with Carter and McCann. One of the things that Goudreau really impresses me with is that he can forecheck like a madman.
Mm-hmm.
He can force turnovers tremendously, and off the forced turnovers, he can create plays. And when you have two gunners like McCann and like Carter, that makes a difference when you got a guy that's a hound dog that can track down pucks like Freddie Goudreau can. So I think I'd like to see him kind of stay in the lineup right now. I got to think the coaching staff's really happy with him. But I don't know who would be the odd man out in this, but when Tanev's back, I want him right back in the lineup if I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, player, or coach, because that guy makes a difference at playoff time.
Same. How did Evgeny Malkin look to you, Pierre?
Spotty. But again, you know, I'm sure a lot of the players didn't want to get hurt. I think Gino was, you know, a little bit nicked up when he fell down in the neutral zone right in front of me. I don't think he was severely hurt or nicked up. I just think, you know, more than anything else, they were playing it safe with him. But he was okay. He wasn't great. I think he would probably tell you the same thing. Again, I think part of that is in a game like that, you just want to get through it. You know, obviously you're in a pretty good position as a group, and you just want to get through it so you're ready to play in the playoffs. What I like about this more than anything else, Andrew and Chris, this means a lot. They get a pretty substantial break here. They can heal up a lot of guys before. If they're going to start on Saturday, they can heal up a lot of guys.
Oh, Saturday. Okay.
How much of an issue is that?
I don't know if Pittsburgh's starting Saturday, but there won't be playoffs start until Saturday this week, and some teams will start Saturday, some will start Sunday.
How does a team fight? Not that I'm trying to like look at the negative or the potentially negative side, because the rest obviously is a huge deal for them, Pierre, but what kind of pitfalls do you have to avoid if you have that much time off between your last regular season game and your first playoff game?
No, I don't think a lot. It's a fair question. It's a fair point. We went through this when I was coaching a couple times. I think the biggest thing is you've got to make sure you have a lot of regulated scrimmages so guys stay sharp. You have to make sure the injured guys are getting the right therapy. But more than anything, well, Pittsburgh in particular, such a veteran. I don't see that being an issue. The young guys usually just follow the lead of the old guys anyways. And because of that, it shouldn't be an issue. Sid's been through this a million times. Malkin's been through it. Carter's been through it a million times. You know, winning two Stanley Cups. Christopher Letang's been through it. Dumoulin's been through it. So when you have that many guys that have been through it, they know how to steer the young guys. And so it should not be an issue at all for Pittsburgh. In fact, it's probably going to be beneficial.
So the Penguins win the East Division title. Let's go over some of the things they might also win based on how they performed in the 56-game season, Pierre. How about Jack Adams for Mike Sullivan? I saw The Athletic ask GMs, and they picked Rod Brind'Amour to win the award. I kind of like Mike Sullivan's case. How about you?
I like Mike Sullivan's case. I think there are four legitimate candidates. I think Joel Quenneville in Florida is a legitimate candidate. I think Rod Brind'Amour in Carolina is a legitimate candidate. I think Dean Evason in Minnesota is a legitimate candidate. But my favorite is Mike Sullivan. I've said it a million times, and you guys know it. Every single media person that wrote that he should be the first coach fired has never written an apology to him. They all should have to write an apology column, number one. Number two, what he's done with 300 man games lost injury with that team is unbelievable. It's an amazing story. He has made players – look at that top line with Gensel, Russ, Crosby. Look at the performance and the consistency level of that line in particular, especially when Malkin was out, and they were getting constant attention. Every one of those guys has over 20 goals. in a 56-game season. That's amazing. So I just think Mike has coached beyond belief this year, and he's got to be a finalist. I get a vote on that award, and I would imagine that there'll be a lot of people putting an X mark next to his name. I can't say he's going to win it, but I would say that he's going to be a finalist, and that's pretty heady praise.
Pony, I was checking during Pierre's answer there, my archives of columns. I did actually, I was smart enough to write one at the end of March praising Mike Sullivan, saying I'll never doubt him again after. Yeah, I called for his firing, Pierre. We know this. No, I did. I managed to write one. What do you say to the people that feel similarly about Sidney Crosby and the Hart Trophy, that even though the numbers aren't obviously close to McDavid's, what he's done for the Penguins warrants serious consideration for that particular award this year?
I had seriously considered it. Here's the problem. You've had amazing performances by guys out west. You've had an unbelievable performance by, you know, Connor McDavid. The 100 points is going to be hard to trump for anybody. So that's going to be a bit of a problem for anybody that's in the hunt. Jonathan Huberdeau's game down in Florida, I don't think enough people watched Florida this year to really understand how well he's played. And if you were to take him off their roster, just where they might be, they definitely would not be competing for home ice in the first round had Huberdeau not been there. So I think he's another one that merits consideration. I would look at, you know, Patrick Kane in Chicago, even though they're not going to be a playoff team, what he did this year, and Alex DeBrincat has been phenomenal. It's hard to look past Austin Matthews and Mitchell Marner in Toronto. So Sid's in the discussion. I just don't know if he's going to have enough points will matter, and that's where McDavid's going to walk away with it, I believe.
I mean, we're talking about a 38-point difference between the two players. That just blows my mind.
Yeah.
And Pierre, there are a lot of, as rightfully so, we get a chance to watch him 56. We watched him 56 times this year, 55 with Sid. You know, you see him, you appreciate him, you don't take him for granted here. And Penguins media, you know, we want to bolster his campaign. I totally get that. And one of the ways people have done that locally is they've said, well, look at the division Connor McDavid has played in. You know, if you put Sidney Crosby in that Canadian division, he might score 100 points. And that doesn't – I don't really like that comparison. I don't know about you. If you think that has merit, I'm not a huge fan of it. What would you say to that one?
Because in pro sports, you can't really pick your schedule. You just got to play what's on the schedule. It's not like running a major college football program or running a basketball program.
You got coaching hockey at St. Lawrence, Pierre.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. There you go. You can't pick your schedule. Exactly. except for your league opponents. But anyways, no, I would just say with all due respect, I mean, as most people know, I think Sidney Crosby's been the most disrespected superstar in North American sport in my lifetime. It's just taken for granted how great she is. Nobody pays enough attention to really how great Sidney's been. It's just, his numbers are amazing. That being said, I wouldn't go by saying, oh, the division in Canada is worse than the division in the West, or because, you know, you can look at it. I could say, yeah, the West is top heavy with Vegas and Colorado, but I don't see anybody talking about, you know, how poor Anaheim is or how poor L.A. is or how poor San Jose is or how poor Arizona is, because they're in the same division. They're not very good. So, you know, I mean, you can say that every division's got some weaker teams.
Yep.
But I would just say this is that with Connor McDavid, to be fair to Connor, what he's done this year is unbelievable. I don't think anybody saw this coming from him this year. No way.
Pierre, if you had to give us a quick, you know, pre-playoffs primer, where do the Penguins fall? Like, are they top three in terms of your kind of favorites to win this whole thing, top five? Where do they fall in that kind of hierarchy as far as heading into the playoffs?
I think they're – here's how I like to phrase it. I think they're a legitimate candidate to win their division. Mm-hmm. And then we'll – how it all gets sorted out from there.
Yep.
If they were not a legitimate candidate to win, I'd say no, they have no chance. But you've got to first win your division before you can actually get to winning the cup. And so I think they're a legitimate contender to win their division. Doesn't mean that they will, but I think they're a legitimate contender. I'll give you an example. Vegas and Colorado are playing tonight. I just did their game in Vegas 10 days ago. Those teams are ridiculously good, both of them. I can't say that Vegas is better than Colorado, and I can't say Colorado is better than Vegas. And there's a dark horse out west that nobody's even talking about in Minnesota. So what happens if Minnesota throws, you know, a wrench to this whole thing and beats, let's say, Colorado in the first round? You know, what happens then?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's really going to be different this year. This whole thing is different because of the division play that we had.
Pierre McGuire going to work the Islanders and Bruins, which is a game that Penguins fans want to keep tabs on tonight at 7. Hey, last one, Pierre. You mentioned the starting date, what you're hearing probably this weekend. My question is, I've seen all these ads for this bracket challenge that the NHL's website is doing. Fill it out. They're kind of trying to turn it into an NCAA tournament sort of thing. But how do you do that if you're still playing games in the Canadian division? Or is it going to be like baseball, and once they get to a point where those teams are eliminated, they're just going to cancel those games?
See, I don't know how they're going to do it. I haven't been following that. I know the advertisements, but I just haven't been following because I've been busy doing a bunch of stuff here. But I do think there'll be playoff games going on while the North Division is still playing. Because I think if you do the brackets, it won't affect that one division. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, so I see right now Canucks-Oilers Saturday, Flames-Canucks Sunday, and then,
so they'll be, I believe, playoff games will start because of the needs on national television, United States in particular. Playoff games will start on the weekend while the regular season's still going on north of the border.
Interesting. All right, Pierre, enjoy that game tonight. We look forward to having you back in Pittsburgh for more autographs and pictures. Maybe we'll take one with you.
Well, I'm hoping that we can get together.
Absolutely.
You know, I know Mother's Day opened us something into that, but that's okay.
Yep.
It was awesome visiting with you guys today, and thanks again to all the great fans of Pittsburgh. I had a delightful weekend there, and I had an awesome, awesome Saturday afternoon walking back to the hotel from the rink. It was special. It really was. Thank you.
You bet. Pierre McGuire, NHL and NBC, our guy, joins us every Monday at 4:20.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.